This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org.
Well, let's come to Matthew 24. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the mark of the beast and so forth. And so since Teresa's here, I won't ring my cowbell, but just consider it rung already for the sake of some of the things that I will kind of give as opinions as we go through this, or possibilities. Just consider the cowbell to have been rung already. Now let's come to Matthew 24 and verse 3. I'm not going to spend much time here in Matthew 24 except this one verse, because this is something that all the disciples of Christ have wanted to know down through time. And everyone wants to know the prophecies. And everyone wants to understand the prophecies. And of course, a lot of the things are based upon, well, if we know it, then we can escape, or we'll go to a place of safety, or all of those factors are there. Or if we really know it and understand it, then we can have a great following and all this sort of thing, as we know with churches in the past. But let's look at it from the point of view of that we really want to know, and that God can show us, and that we also need to understand, as it was there in the book of Zephaniah, what is it to you who desire the day of the Lord? It's a day of darkness, gloominess, chaos, war. So if you start trumpeting the alarm and saying, okay, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, you need to be very careful, because your anxiety to want it to happen is not going to make it happen. It's going to happen according to God's way. And understanding the scriptures, that understanding is not going to come just because you want to be an expert in the Word of God. Now, verse 3, Matthew 24. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Number one. Number two, what shall be the sign of your coming? And number three, of the end of the age, as it should read, the age of man's rule. The Greek here is cosmos, which means, it's Iona, which means age. And all the disciples from that time, clear down to now, have wanted to know that. And of course, everyone comes along and they have certain things that they think is really it, and that they really have the answer. And I'll have to say, as we're starting out, we don't have the answer. We have part of it, and we can see some of the things. So let's see how it all fits together. Now, let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 18. And we have to understand that it is God who does the revealing. And God, in revealing it, does not reveal it because a person is who a person may be. Let's see. Psalm 119. In verse 18, and we've covered this book before. Psalm 119 and verse 18, we've covered this verse before. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. The marginal reference is reveal to my eyes. Well, God is the one who has to do the revealing. That I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And the law here in this case doesn't refer to just the laws alone, but all the Word of God. So God is the one who has to open our mind. Now, let's come to John 16, and let's see what else needs to be, because it is God's Spirit that is involved to give us understanding. And we have to also apply the thing that Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. That is, if it is at the appropriate time that God wants. Certain things that we're going to cover today, if you go back, say, 1,500 years, and I'm reading a book now called the Celtic Church in Britain, and it looks like that part of that, which is really quite a book, quite well done, but there's an awful lot in there concerning that they were Sabbath keepers, that they believe in the 14th Passover, that they believe in, I read their doctrine of salvation, it was almost exactly like we're preaching today. You see, so God's Spirit is consistent right down through with all of His people, but they could not understand, and I can see why that many of them believed that the Holy Spirit was a person, because they could not conceive of a thing speaking. Or let's put it this way, they could not conceive of something speaking which was not a person. But we can understand today that, yes, that is so. In understanding the things in the book of Revelation, the only thing they could say is, well, it's a mystery to us. God will have to show. And I may bring sort of a review sermon on that sometime just to show you know that God has had His people all the way down. And the same thing happened to the Celtic Church in Britain. They were taken over by the Catholics. Whenever you see giving up on the Passover and the Holy Days and moving to Easter and Sunday, there's got to be the Catholic behind it somewhere. And I think that is true with our modern day experience. And reading that, their history, I could see so many things that are happening today with them going back to Sunday and Easter and all of this sort of thing, you see. But here in John 16 and verse 13, here's another scripture we've used in the past, which we'll use again in the future. Howbeit, when it, that is the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth. And especially this had to do with the apostles in writing the New Testament. The Holy Spirit had to guide them into all truth that God wanted contained in the New Testament. And then with the truth that is there, plus the truth of the scriptures of the Old Testament, when you put that together, then that helps us understand the Word of God even more. Now notice, but whatsoever it shall hear, it will speak and will show you things to come. Now, when do we need to know about the things to come? Well, obviously, Daniel didn't need to know, did he? Because Daniel was told, seal the book, close it up until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. When? At the time of the end. So we need to look at these scriptures and see how we can understand these things, maybe a little bit more. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's come to chapter 1 here, please. Chapter 1. And as I mentioned some time back, the book of Revelation is perhaps the most, how shall I say it? The most jam-packed with teaching, because the book of Revelation assumes that you basically understand all of the Bible in an overview. Some things in particularly. But here is a promise that is given in verse 3, chapter 1. Now this is a revelation. Remember that we covered there in Psalm 119, 118, reveal to my eyes or open my eyes. And this is the revelation of God, of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, which he gave to John. Verse 3, blessed is the one who is reading and those who are hearing the words of this prophecy. Now, this tells us that in this time, we do need to study the book of Revelation with all of the other scriptures and put it together and see if we can learn more each time we go through it. We'll pick up a little more here, a little more there, give us understanding. And keeps, now notice the important thing here, and also is very important to understand, in keeping the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now how do you keep the things which are written here? Well, it contains all the Ten Commandments, not listed out in numerical order, but as we go through, we'll point out some of the commandments of God that are there. It also shows that if you don't keep them, you're not going to understand. So this verse here ties right directly in with Daniel 12 that I quoted earlier, that the wise shall understand and none of the wicked shall understand. Now let's come to Revelation 13 and verse 18. Revelation 13 and verse 18. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding. Well, where does understanding come from? It has to come from God. Okay. Count the number of the beast. Then it tells us what it is. It is the number of a man, and his number is 666, which is 666. Now, there have been many attempts to understand that. I'm not going to apply 666 to anything today particularly. But when the man of sin, the son of perdition, comes on the scene, it will be known who he is, and he will fit this. Now, many attempts have been made down through history to fit it to different ones in history, and it can kind of partially fit, but it's a stretch to make these things fit. And God isn't going to have it to where we're going to have to make it a stretch to make it fit. It will become evident and God will let us know. And the only way we're going to know it is if we know the scriptures and know the things, how they're coming along, and the time setting that is involved in it. Now, I saw a production by an independent Seventh-day Adventist group, the same one that did Israel of the Alps, and it's called Mark of the Beast 666. And I learned a lot from it, not from what they taught that gave me understanding, but what they left out in presenting their case. I think they have the number 666 pretty well applied to the Catholic Church, no question about it. That is true. But it doesn't necessarily just apply to the Catholic Church alone. And they do have the mistake of saying that the mark of the beast is Sunday keeping, and of course they don't include the holidays of the world because they keep, a lot of them keep the holidays of the world. And they're wrong in that. The mark of the beast is not Sunday keeping and the holidays of the world. So we're going to see what the scriptures tell us and how we're going to understand this. Now, first of all, let's understand some things that are important for us to realize here. Let's come back here to chapter 15. Let's turn the page. Well, I've got five things listed out here. These are the five things that we have associated with the beast, the number, the mark, and the image. Now, verse 2 of Revelation 15. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and then them that had gotten victory over the beast. So number one, the beast. You write that down. And over his image. And over his mark. Now, why is it listed that way? It's not listed exactly the same way in other places. The reason I believe is this. The beast, which then is a civil power, the image, then which is the religious power, and the mark, then which is the economic power. And we'll see that. Now let's continue on. And over the number of his name, so that's number four, the number of his name. Stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, let's understand something. Let's come back here to chapter 13 again. Okay. Chapter 13 and verse 17. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now you see, here it's got number of, it's got his name and then number of name. So his name is number five. So there are five things connected with the beast, the end time, the number, and the mark, and the image. They are the beast, the image, the mark, the number, the name. Now let's come to Revelation, the 20th chapter, and see how it refers to it again here. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, so here we have the beast, neither his image, we have the image, neither received his mark in their forehead or in their hands. So we have it repeated again. Beast, image, mark. We don't have number listed here, do we? We don't have name listed here, do we? No. But those are all components of it. Now, let's understand something that's very important by going to John, the 17th chapter. Because we need to make a distinction, and I think we're going to see that even those people who in their carnal zealousness are trying to establish a constitutional government by going back to the Constitution of the United States. Constitution of the United States is a constitution of a government of this world. And the government of this world is part of the end time beast system, period. Gonna have to be. If that being the case, then they are still in the world. And they are still in Babylon. See, and they're trying to reform Babylon. Now, for all of those zealous who think that, you know, they're really doing God service, they're not doing God service at all. Because you're trying to be in the world. Now here, John 17 is something very important for us to really comprehend. Let's pick it up here in verse 13, where Christ was praying for him. He says, now I come to you, that is to the Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. That's very important, brother. If you're all wrapped up in a constitutional government of this world, you are of the world. We have to live in the world. We can use the rights of citizenship as Paul did. But did Paul try and bring about a new government on this earth? Did he try and amend the constitution of Jerusalem or Antioch or Pisidia or Corinth or Philippi? No. He preached the kingdom of God. But when he was in trouble with the authorities, He was able to use legally the system of the world to give him the protection that he needed. But he was never a part of the world. And that's what's important to understand. And I think that's why when you have the beast and the name, that if you are part of the world, that's why it's distinguished this way. You're still part of it. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christ did not work with the civil governments. Christ did not try to change the Sadducees and Pharisees. He called them to repentance, but he didn't lead the disciples to have a movement to march on Jerusalem and make them accept the constitution of the kingdom of God. Now, verse 15. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, as it should read. Who is the evil one? Satan, the devil. Now then, if you are protected from the evil one, then you are not part and parcel a part of the system of this world. Because all the governments, as we're going to see, have been deceived by Satan the devil, and he's the god of this world, correct? Yes. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And this is the dilemma that a lot of people find themselves in. When you get a lot of carnal zeal to try and have things right, then you go out and try and reform the world. Now, there's certain things you can do in your own life. But Lot did not go out and try and reform Sodom. Abraham did not go down and try and reform Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? That's important to realize, because when you do that, then you go back into the world and you get one foot back into the world, and then you have not overcome the beast. Now, let's understand something concerning the beast. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter here for just a minute, as it refers to Satan the devil. And we are seeing this take place as never before. Luke 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 5. Now, let's go back to verse 4 for just a minute. See, where Jesus answered and said to him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's the way we are to live, by the word of God. And since we are not of the world, we can't make the world live by the word of God. What happens when that takes place? Hatred ensues. Violence and martyrdom comes. Now, we'll be put in a position where we have to witness against them, and that will again take place, as we will see. But we are to live by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, which kingdom of this world does not belong to Satan the devil? There's only one kingdom. That's a kingdom of God which must come from heaven. All the kingdoms of this world belong to Satan the devil. Even the kingdom of Judea, which had the temple, which had the worship, which had the priesthood, what did Jesus say? You are of your father the devil, correct? So that's why he had to start the church separate and make it not of the world. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for it is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. Now, this tells us that if you're going to be in the governments of this world and be part of the world, sooner or later you're going to worship Satan the devil one way or the other. And down at the end time, it's going to be you're either going to be worshiping God you're going to be worshiping Satan, as we will see. Now, let's come back here to Matthew, the 12th chapter, please. Not Matthew, beg your pardon. Revelation 12. Now, let's tie this in with Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which is deceiving the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, we know that this is talking not only of that time then, but when has Satan not deceived the world? Boy, from the beginning, he has deceived the world, correct? Except those that God has called. And therefore, since he has deceived the world, and since God wants as many to be saved as can be, because they are blinded, as Satan the devil does, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world blinds the minds, God has turned them over to their own devices and Satan the devil, so that they might be saved, as we know, during the great white throne judgment. But please know this and understand this. God will not let you lose salvation because you have been deceived and closed onto sin if you're in the world. Today, being in the church, if you go back into the world and if you give up on God, then there is no salvation. Because you have not been deceived. But there's going to be a lot of people who are going to receive the mark of the beast who are deceived into receiving it. And we're going to see that God is not going to hold them responsible for salvation with it, or they're going to pay plenty of the price, as we're going to see, because of receiving it. Okay, so he's deceiving the whole world. Actively. Now let's see where this is going to come to. Let's come to Revelation 13. And let's see, as we have in the past, but let's see it again. And we can see the development of the beast. And it's coming. And I never will forget the President of the General Assembly of the United Nations, Kofi Annan, said that when they were doing this thing with Iraq some time ago, he says, now you see the power of the UN. When all the nations give their power, then we can get things done. And such power has, you know, he intimated that this is going to be the ultimate power in the world. And so you watch that develop more and more and more and more and more. Now let's understand here that we're coming to a point. We need to understand we're looking at worldwide events, which 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, clear back to the time of Christ, they could not think in worldwide events like we do today. I mean, just think of it. With CNN, you got breaking news. I mean, if you have a flea jump over a fire hydrant, it'll be on CNN regardless if it's in Tibet or if it's in whatever country in the world, you know. And John said here, verse 1, I stood on the sand of the sea, which then is people, multitudes, nations, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now this beast is just another reincarnation of the beast back here in Revelation 12, where it talks about the great red dragon, verse 3, which had 7 heads and 10 horns. Satan is like the genie. He disappears in one form and reappears in another form, but it's the same old thing. And in the end time, it's the same old thing rearranged so it looks new. And if you take generations leading up to it, and if you take away the history, then the generation which is going to be at the end time will not know what it was has been in the past. And so they will think this is all new. Having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns were ten crowns, and on the heads the name of blasphemy. Now, what can be the name of blasphemy? Well, Satan's name. What are some other names of blasphemy? Other names of blasphemy are Nimrod, and Baal, and Tammuz, and Ashtaroth, and Easter, Ishtar, Semiramis. All of those are names of blasphemy. All the names of the pagan gods of the world. Zeus, Thor, Mars, Venus, Mercury, all named after the planets. Those are all names of blasphemy. And anything that puts itself up in front of God. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. So this is a combination of all the empires there in Daniel, the seventh chapter. And you'll see, if you have a marginal reference Bible, that it refers back to Daniel 7 in each case. His feet were the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Now, there have been many interpretations of this, trying to interpret this going back into the last century. The Church of God Seventh-day interpreted this as the wound was Rome that was conquered and then reestablished under Justinian. Now, that can be one interpretation, but I believe it has to be the deadly wound of the beast man who will call himself God on earth. And it's going to be in the body of a man. And that is the beast. You have the beast, which is the system. You have the beast, which then is the person. Well, let's read it here. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. When it says all the world, it means all the world. And you can see how that could happen. Boy, you just, you know, put this on television today and just translate it into the things that we know concerning news today. And if they had a great leader who was bringing peace and all of this sort of thing, and if he were wounded to death, the whole world would be mourning. Look what they did with Diana, Princess Diana. See? Can you imagine what they would do with some great hero man? That's what this is going to be. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast. Now let's understand something right here. This whole end time generation is being prepared for all of this demon magic as never before, being home recuperating here, I took a little of my own advice. Sabbaths were very lonely, so I tell you, all those of you who don't have Sabbaths where you can get together and fellowship with anybody, I understand. And hope and pray that more brethren will be called so you won't be alone. And you're pretty miserable on the Sabbath not being able to fellowship. That's why it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, I couldn't help it. I couldn't get out. So this is my first time out. But I took the television thing and I said, okay, I'm going to monitor the programs on the Sabbath, which most of the kids watch in this world. And I tell you, they're demonic from head to toe. From beginning to end. All the cartoons, all of the movies, demonism involved. I just saw a movie that's being released this week called Practical Magic. This world is going to be given over to magic. And who were the ones that Satan used in the past? Simon the magician, right? Who were the religious leaders called in Egypt? The magicians, correct? It's all coming back again. But first they're going to have to give it so that Satan is acceptable. Someone told me about the movie Devil's Advocate, which puts the devil in the world as a benign and helpful creature. That's why they want to get rid of anything concerning the Bible. That's why they want to get rid of anything concerning the true Christ. Have as many false Christ as you want, but get rid of the true Christ. That's why all this ecumenical movement, I'm okay, you're okay, you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, and we're fine and wonderful and hunky-dory, and we're all going to worship, quote, God. And that's going to be Satan. Okay. Yes, they are worshiping the dragon, and they are worshiping the beast, and they're deceived into both of it. And we'll see. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter. You have to plug that in here at this point in order to understand it. So remember, we already read Satan is deceiving the whole world. Revelation 13 is telling us the end result of that deception. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, tells us in the body of this one person and what he is going to do and how he is going to do it. Okay. 2 Thessalonians, second chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. This is very important for us to understand because we're now how many days from the end of 1998? Yeah, we have one more week, so we've got 9 weeks until the end of this year. Then we only have 365 days to the year 2000. And year 2000, they're going to be, I guarantee you, during 1999 and getting on into 2000, there are going to be all kinds of false prophets, all kinds of allusions to Christ. There are going to be apparitions of Mary, apparitions of Christ. There are going to be all kinds of demonic and false preachers going around, false Christ, and everything is going to take place. And the Pope is just hoping, oh, Lord, let me live to the year 2000, you see. We'll see if Satan is given permission for him to live or not, because his days are only as long as God says he can live. And if you don't believe that is true, if you have a computer and you have an internet, get on Yahoo and look up Mary and look up Catholic Church and all that sort of thing, and you'll have a real Yahoo when you do, because there is so many thousands and thousands of pages of information on there. A little glimmering of the truth. We have an informational page for the Christian Biblical Church of God, and that's about it. Okay. Now, here's what's going to happen. There is going to come this great leader. And I think, Bill Clinton is a type of him. I don't think he's the leader. Unless he lives long enough and he's elected to be, you know, President of the United Nations, which is not beyond a stretch. But that man doesn't have one truthful cell in his body. And everyone loves him. Everyone thinks he's doing a great job. Oh, yeah, good actor. Also, I saw some of those films where they were talking about, that they subpoenaed about some of his fundraising activity. And he knows precisely how to legally take millions and millions and millions. He raised $150 million. Yet he can have the kind of life that he has, lie to everybody, and yet be a great leader. This is what's going to happen with the great leader in the world. Same kind of thing. I think he's going to survive all of this. You know, I think he is. Okay? Because no one wants to stand for truth. Not even the Republicans. Now, back to this. Okay? Verse 1 again. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that takes place when he returns, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled. So there are going to be a lot of things coming down the pike. Neither by spirit, there are going to be a lot of demonic spirits out there causing people to believe a lot of things, nor by word, that is by message, someone will preach, nor by letter, that is epistle, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, this is what we're going to hear. The end, the end, the end, the end. Christ is going to come. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Because this deception is coming on the whole world. I mean, and you stop and think about it. I was thinking about that the other day. Just, you know, when you're recuperating, you have a lot of time to think. You have a lot of time to meditate. You're not into reading because your brain is kind of going, you know, not into too much of that. And I was thinking, what a magnificent and tremendous and marvelous thing that God is doing, that he could take us, who all began as just a speck of dust, like putting a little pinpoint mark on your paper. And bring us into this world, and look at the billions that are in the world, brother. You see, all from a speck of dust. And to make us, by calling us, and make us, if we are faithful to the end, to be resurrected and brought into the kingdom of God as a spirit being with power and glory. That is something. That is overwhelming. I mean, to really think about it. When you think about that, and I thought what Ed has said so many times, too many people are into religion, too many people are into church. See? You know? What a thing. And that we could know the truth and that we could not be deceived. Now that's an amazing blessing. So we shouldn't get all excited as to, you know, that we're some great mucky muck or anything, because we haven't done anything other than be a speck of dust. So once you've had your mind open and you understand the truth, and you're no longer deceived. Don't be deceived by smooth-sounding words. For that day shall not come, except there shall a falling away shall come first, and the falling away is the apostasy. Meaning that they leave everything concerning God and go toward everything concerning Satan. That's what it means. Because even some of the Protestants, you know, they had certain things of Christ. But now even they're losing that. It's all going toward Satan. That's what we read in Revelation 13. Okay, the question was, are they being deceived concerning the true God? Correct. Are they being deceived into thinking that Satan is the true God? Correct. Both are correct. Yes. So this is a multiple thing that's taking place. If they're deceived, I don't think that they are totally aware that they are worshiping Satan. Insiders know that they are worshiping Satan, those of the synagogue of Satan. Question was, will the world in general know that they're worshiping Satan and realize that he's of the power of Satan and not of God? No, they won't. See? Because if they, some of the insiders, the establishment of this world know But the average Joe citizen, Jane citizen of the world, they don't know. They're just doing what they're told. They grew up in a ready-made environment. And Satan's trying to create that ready-made environment for himself and is being pretty successful in it. Let's turn this tape to the other side, please. This beast power of the man is going to be counted a savior to the world. No question about it. He will be called the manifestation of God. Just like the old empires with their emperors. The emperors were the manifestation of God in the flesh, of whom the last one was Emperor Hirohito in Japan. Now, let's continue on here. So this apostasy is going to come first, leaving everything of the true God and going toward Satan the devil. We're going to see that this is a deception. These people have not committed the unpardonable sin, but I would have to say those of the establishment who are in on it and know who they are worshiping probably have committed the unpardonable sin. Let's read on. And the man of sin shall have been revealed. Very important. That's the way it reads in the original Greek. And in my translation of 2 Thessalonians, that's how I translated it. Shall have been revealed. In other words, a future completed act. He will have been revealed to whom? To the church. For what he is. But to the world, he's the Savior. So he will have to come on the scene first. So understand, as we come down toward the time of the end, there has to be certain things that take place. Now notice, verse 4. Yes, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now the only other one who's talked about the son of perdition is Judas Iscariot. Now the son of perdition will know who he is and what he is and the power behind it, because Satan will not give it to him unless he fully acknowledges it. Just like we saw there in Luke 4, when Satan gave the proposition to Jesus. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. This is going to be a brand new religion. But it's really not brand new. It's the old religion brought back where it sounds new. Or that is worshipped so that he is God, is sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that's why when it gets back there to Revelation 13, they worship the dragon and they worship the beast, both. See. Not only are they worshiping the dragon who is called God, but here the man then, is the manifestation of God. And it's all combined in together there. Now, verse 5, don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now you know what is withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. And in his time is the time that it's going to be. There is a time when he will be revealed. You can't force the time, because until he is here, he can't be revealed. That's why when you go back, say, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, 500 years, and go on back, you don't know who he is, and he can't be revealed, because he can't be revealed until he's here. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, the seeds of it are already working. The mystery of iniquity in all the religions of the world are mystery religions. Only he who is holding back will hold back until he be taken out of the way. In other words, till the time when he's brought on the scene and then he is removed. And then that wicked one shall have been revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. I mean, you take a whole civilization that is inert because of TV, that is cynical because of the things that have taken place. To get the whole world stirred up and excited about this is going to take some pretty profound things. So this is going to be, I think, very profound. Now notice verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. So it's all deceivableness. So they are being deceived by any and every means. So the whole world is going to be deceived. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So you see, there is a real dividing line again. So when we come down to the end time, we see you either are or you're not. You either are of God or you're of the world. Either of God or you're of Satan. No two ways. Now, verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them. So God is the one who's doing it, you see. Strong delusion that they should believe a lie. See, now they're totally deceived. Completely deceived. Now, God is not going to let anyone lose salvation by deception. God is turning them over to the deception that he may have mercy in the great white throne judgment. Now, we'll look a little bit more about deception here. See? Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So that you tie this together now. If you have the tape, the two witnesses, you get that tape and you play that. And you go over that again. And understand that there is going to be a great and powerful movement of God on the earth through the two witnesses and the church when this beast and the false prophet come on the scene. It is going to be a confrontation much like Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh and the magicians. So we're in for some profound things to take place. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, let's come back to Revelation 13 again. Revelation 13. So if the world is going to be deceived and you are part of the system of this world, you have not overcome the beast. If you fall victim to the image of the beast and worship it, you have fallen victim to the image of the beast and the system. If you receive the mark of the beast, being undeceived, then you relinquish salvation. We are not deceived. The world is. And God is going to turn them over to that deception. Now, Revelation 13, let's pick it up again. Because here's what's going to have to happen. See, if you, being undeceived, now, and know the truth, allow yourself to go and willingly accept this system in the world, you do it not deceived. You do it willingly. That's what we need to really understand. And you will end up worshiping the dragon. And of course that has to do with another god, with idolatry, and all of that. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Well, we've seen how that they have scaled down all the national armies in the world, right? What if? Ring my cowbell, ding, ding. Okay? What if the peaceful solution to all war is to turn all atomic weapons over to the control of the United Nations? Then it will have total power. Not just the power of the United States, but all of the nuclear power of all the nations. United States, Russia, France, Britain, China, Pakistan, India. All together. Plus then have control over their armies. And they take away all your guns. Who's able to make war with the beast? Nobody. Except Christ. Now notice verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. Now this is after the wound is healed. And power was given to him to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years of the great tribulation. So the tribulation cannot begin until one. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is on the scene and is known. Two, until he has the deadly wound and is healed and brought back to life, then the tribulation starts. It cannot start until then. Now, we may have a lot of troubles and difficulties like we're having now with weather, with government. Boy, and I tell you, weather has really been something else. I mean, is God trying to send a message or not? I do believe so. I'll have a little more to say about that later on, not here in this tape. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy. That ties in with 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So we're facing war against the saints. You tie this in just right across the page in my Bible, chapter 12 and verse 17. War against the saints. So this is right at the end. And power was given him, notice, over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That is an all-encompassing power. That's why the tribulation is going to begin at that point. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the true saints are going to be the only ones who know. And we will be counted as insane and mad and contrary to the whole system. That means sooner or later we will be exposed to the world for who and what we are. God is going to make that known. That's why it says here in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Because you see, we are down to the things of eternal life or eternal death. That's why he says that. If you really truly hear the word of God, really hear the word of God. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. That's all part of this world, correct? He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. So if you're still part of the beast because you're in the civil system and you're trying to correct that, you're going to be killed because you're going to be in vain. Not as a martyr for God, but in vain because you're trying to modify Babylon when God is going to destroy it. You know, most people just don't get it. Republicans aren't going to save the world. Democrats are not going to save the world. Socialists are not going to save the world. Communists are not going to save the world. Christ is going to save the world. Okay. And here is the patience and faith of the saints. Meaning what? That they don't do that. That they don't take up arms. Now then, here's another part of the system that's coming in. Here's the religious system. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And every time I see these ceremonies going on, you know, that they show on television of the Vatican, I can't help but thinking it. Here's all of this. It looks so good to the world. Spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, which means it's a worldwide thing. And that's why the Pope wants to be the world's religious leader, to include all religions. But truly, the Catholic Church is the only world religion, correct? Everywhere in the world. You can't say Buddhism is. You can't even say Protestantism is. Yeah, Catholic or Catholic means universal. See? And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. So they sanction this new world religion and worship of the beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Because this second beast probably helped, as it were, resurrect the first beast. And can you imagine what that is? The first beast has a deadly wound. The second beast runs in there and prays for him, and he's resurrected. Now together they can do great things. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men. Now you know there's going to be every test in the world to show that this is authentic and not an illusion. And it's not going to be mechanical. It's going to be literal fire out of the literal heavens coming down on the earth, because God is going to let them have that power. Now, verse 4, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth. So here again, here's another part of the deception you see. Now, were we deceived before God called us? Yes. Yes. Is the whole world deceived? Well, if you're already deceived, then it's easy to have another deception, correct? Have we not seen deception upon deception upon deception? Yes. So now here comes another deception. This is why receiving the mark of the beast for someone in the world already deceived is not the unpardonable sin. It's going to be hell to pay for him in this life. But it's not the unpardonable sin. If we accept the mark of the beast, it is the unpardonable sin. That's what we need to understand. We'll see that here in just a minute. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast. An image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, if you don't have the tape on that, be sure and write for the tape. If you don't have the Revelation series, write for the Revelation series. The Revelation series is what we've done in Revelation compiled through the years. And I go through and show very clearly that the image of the beast has always been the female goddess woman. That's why all the things concerning the Virgin Mary, concerning the goddess Gaia, and so forth, all have an impact. Mother Earth and all of that together, that's all part of it. So when they make this image of the beast, then, which is the religious system, which then I have here listed as a woman, because it's the woman in Revelation 17 that rides the beast, then you make an image for the beast, not necessarily just of the beast, I think there will be images of the beast, but the one that's going to count is the one that's going to be the female goddess. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Can you imagine a wonderful, soothing female voice telling the world how wonderful that this all is? And how many people will fall for that? Then all the demonic power behind it, why, they will cry tears of joy. It's going to be something. There is a joy in sin for a season. And there's going to be joy to the people on the earth when this first starts. Because you see, you cannot have a deception if it starts out bad. I mean, if you worship the beast and you drop dead, how many people are going to go along and worship the beast? Nobody. If you worship the image of the beast and you drop dead, no one else is going to want to, you know, come up and worship the image of the beast. Boom, what's that pile of bodies over there? Well, these all that worship the image of the beast. See? No, there's going to be demonic joy. And people just crave it, want it. And cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, who are the ones that won't worship? Those who have the Spirit of God. And as I've said before, no one is going to receive the mark of the beast until they worship that image of the beast and worship the beast. God is not going to let it be a thumbprint, a fingerprint, an eye print, a handprint, a footprint, an eye print. It's going to be something that's going to be put on. Because you have to show subservience to Satan and the system. Now, I've got an article here that tells me what they want. A brain implant, not transplant. Implant allows a man to control his computer. Now, this is fine. It's a paraplegic who can't talk, but who they put a little chip into his brain that will allow his brain waves to connect to that chip, which then can interface to a computer. And he can do things on the computer just by thinking. Okay? I believe that the mark of the beast is going to also be a control factor. Once you receive it, you give up your free will and your free choice from that time forward. That's why it's such a damnable thing, even for those who are deceived into taking it, what's going to happen to them. We'll read about it here in just a little bit. But far more damnable thing for those who have the Spirit of God, if they should give up on the Spirit of God and go receive the mark of the beast. See, you're going to be killed if you don't receive it. Now, many of us, because we don't know how long we have to go, we may be, you know, gone and in the grave by that time, but it's going to be for those who follow them. So I think this is going to be a combination of control, combination of bar scanning, all this sort of thing. It's going to be a whole new numbering system. They're going to junk all credit cards, all debit cards, all banking systems, all social security numbers. They're going to have to issue a new number to each person as they receive the mark. And you are not going to be into the system, you're not going to be into the computer, unless you have that new number and that new mark. Comment was made that with this implant that the man had to think to do it. And could that also have implications with the mark of the beast, that you have to think to make it work? Could very well be, but also they can have receptacles going back to where they control you. See, that's what Satan wants. Satan wants total control. Comment was made that people are going to think this is wonderful. Certainly. It's going to be, hey, goods and services, buy whatever you want, and you're born into this world, and you have a reserve of how many, X number of dollars for into your account, and every year we add so much more to it. I mean, this is going to be something. Let's read on here. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So it's going to, and the Greek here is epi, upon their right hand, or upon their forehead. Now you look at the television series Babylon 5. You look at that. They control brain waves, don't they? They have this little triangular, and isn't it interesting that it's in the shape of a Trinity symbol, a triangle, right on the right hand? It's going to be put there. So it's not going to be trickery. You're going to choose to do it or choose to reject it. One of the two. Now, there may be a lot who rejected it at the last minute. And they may be part of the 144,000 in the great innumerable multitude. So it's going to be a big day of slaughter when they start that. It's going to make the Inquisition of the past look like kindergarten. Because now the wrath of Satan is going to be upon everyone who doesn't receive it. Now notice verse 12. That no man might buy or sell save he that has the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Verse 17. Yes. Can't buy or sell. You know, 100 years ago, it wouldn't make a bit of difference if you could buy or sell. No, you could live out there and have your farm, you know, take care of, let's say, 150 years ago, not even 150 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, out in some areas, even in the United States here, let alone many parts of the world. They didn't have to buy or sell. They had their own farms, they had their own horses, their own cows, their own mules, their own food. They bartered with their neighbors. They didn't need money. They didn't have money. They made their own shoes, made their own clothes, all this sort of thing. Today, you can't get along without buying or selling. Today, we are in such a merchandised world that you have to buy. You have to sell. I mean, just think about it. We can't even exist 2 weeks without the supermarket. Maybe a month. 2 months? Anybody 3 months? But by that time, your electricity is shut off, correct? Yes? Your house is foreclosed upon, correct? 120 days plus 17. Never have we had a society where buying and selling is so important. I mean, the whole world is breathless how the market is going to do. And I think it shows that the Feds had to intervene and save these hedge funds, massive hedge funds. Because if they didn't, it would be revealed that the biggest insiders in the world are gambling great risks. So they had to rescue it. And they couldn't let a depression happen. We're not going to let one happen. They look and see all the disaster that takes place, and as I said before, concerning prosperity, there's going to have to be prosperity at the end to make it work. So it's going to have to happen. Okay, let's come here to chapter 14. Chapter 14. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. If you don't have, we have in the Revelation series the one on 144,000 too. So if you don't have that, I mean, there's a lot here in the book of Revelation that it is so heavy. Every word here is based upon so much that's why this is the last book in the Bible. Now verse 6. Revelation 14, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice. So even the angel is going to preach. If there aren't men to preach, or they can't hear the two witnesses, an angel is going to come by and do it. That's going to be something, isn't it? Oh, you're out there working, you know, all of a sudden there's a message from God, direct from heaven. I think that's going to cause a lot of the great innumerable multitude to repent. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him instead of the beast and his image, you see. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water, rather than a man who is nothing, or Satan who is rebellious. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. This is predicting the fall. Hasn't yet happened. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and that's how they're all deceived. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand. Well, you see, this has to take place before the image is given, before the mark is given. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation. See, God does nothing unless he warns first. So that's going to be something. Third angel's message is not what Ellen G. White says it is. It's what it says here. An angel is going to warn the world. So there are going to be plenty of witnesses. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. We'll see that in Revelation 16 here. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. It doesn't say that they are tormented forever, but it says that the smoke of their torment, why is there smoke? Because it's fire and brimstone. That's why. This does not in any way indicate unpardonable sin. The smoke going up has nothing to do with the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is if we, as Christians who have the Spirit of God, knowingly reject the Spirit of God and knowingly accept the mark of the beast, then we have committed the unpardonable sin. All the people in the world haven't. You'd have to include the whole end time generation in that. And then they're resurrected, and God says, okay, now you've been burned up in fire and brimstone once, now we're going to do it again. Why, Lord? Well, you were deceived in receiving the mark of the beast. Well, I was deceived. If I really would have known, I wouldn't have done it. Doesn't make any difference. I'm going to throw you in the lake of fire anyway, see. And there's some people who actually believe that those who received the mark of the beast have committed the unpardonable sin. No, if we do, we have. If the world does, it hasn't. But they're going to suffer torment. A special punishment is going to come. That's why the warning is given here. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and receives his mark. That is, after it comes to this point. At first, it's going to be wonderful. When it comes down to the battle, it's going to be horrible. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. That is, during the tribulation that's going on. That's what it's talking about. Because when you get right to this could mean the very last minute. How many are going to die in the Lord at the very last minute? See, no, this is during that period where they reject the mark, where they reject the beast, where they reject the image, and they are killed. You patiently keep the commandments of God. Okay? Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest in their labors, for their works do follow them. Now let's come over here to chapter 16. Notice how that is positioned. Chapter 14 gives a warning. Chapter 15 shows those who've overcome the mark of the beast, as we started off in verse 2. Then chapter 16, the very first plague of the seven last plagues are for those who have the mark of the beast. And that's what it's warning about here. Back in chapter 14. Now let's come to chapter 16 and see that. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and them which had worshipped his image. See, it says here, chapter 14 and verse 11, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. That's interesting. Mark of his name. We need to put that down there. Mark, not only the mark, but the mark of his name. So you have the number of it, you have the name, you have the number of the name, you have the mark of his name. Okay, so that's what it's talking about there. Then, what's going to happen, the things that are going to take place with that, you see. Okay? And then it shows all the rest, the seven angels that pour out their vials. And let's see. Yes, let's come down here to verse 8. Fourth angel poured out his vial in the sun, and power was given him to scorch men with fire. Weren't they to be with fire and brimstone? Can you imagine the fires that are going to be on the earth because of that? I mean, just look at some of the fires that we see today. Once these things get going, they have firestorms. It's just like an all-consuming brimstone, just burning everything in the way to scorch men. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial on the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their teeth for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So that's what happens, you see. When you come back here and look at this, those who receive the mark of the beast are really going to end up fighting Christ and not repenting. They're going to have to be killed. When the second resurrection takes place, then the deception will be lifted. Then they will understand what they have done. And I can imagine the kind of repentance that they're going to have at that point. Now, if they don't repent at that point, then it's, second death to ensue. So the whole thing of the mark of the beast and his name and his number and all of that, it's really far more reaching than just a simple thing that a lot of people have tried to make it. It's going to be very profound. There are going to be great events taking place. There is going to be warnings given from heaven, warnings given from the true preachers of God, warnings given by the two witnesses. This is going to be something that's going to take place. So with all of that, you can know for sure that the year 2000 is not going to be the year of the end.
The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81. WZ, United Kingdom.